Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I went deep. I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder what it is the average person can get to as far as information. You know, nowadays, with all this AI out there, I'm thinking, you know, maybe myself being here teaching real estate investing and teaching how to set up your financial plan so that you can have early retirement might be outdated. Maybe it's just something you look up on the internet and figure it all out in 5 seconds and not have to worry about it. And laughingly, though, I was kind of looking at that, wondering, I wonder what you do see out there. Because if people can get the information, it would be good for them. So I thought, well, let's go find out if we can get them some free information over the internet. So I went into AI mode and started searching stuff in AI. What I found interesting about searching AI is that you get what you ask for. You have to be very specific about what you ask for to get anything that's going to be functional for you. Otherwise, it just gives you the general meandering type thoughts that the American people have, type of thing. And so as you look at this one, it's really interesting to me. For those of you that don't do this yet, I throw in these questions and you watch it and it says, okay, I'm searching 7 different websites. Now I'm searching 96 different websites and, you know, using 7 different articles and blah, 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 blah. And it tells you that, you know, it's accumulating this information from these different places. It doesn't tell you exactly where you're getting it. In fact, there probably is a way to check that out. I just don't know how to use this stuff very well yet. But I do think it's interesting. And I think that people should start playing with it, start asking questions. But you got to be careful what questions you ask, because you'll get the answers that will pretty much parallel what it is you think you're looking for, right? So the first question I asked today, which I thought was really interesting, was what is the youngest age Americans are retiring at nowadays? So I'm thinking, okay, let's find out. Maybe there's whole lots of people retiring early. You see it on YouTube all the time. There's 8,000 something for nothing, instantaneously, gratificationally diseased ideas on YouTube. It's almost all young kids spouting them off. And then there's a few older guys that are selling programs that have been around forever and ever and ever. And I don't know what they do. I mean, maybe they consult people that are really rich and pay them a lot of money. They talk like that. But the bottom line is that the average person isn't going to pay somebody $100,000, $200,000, whatever, to try to figure out how to do something that should be as simple as, you know, hey, let's get in here and figure this out, right? So I asked this question, what is the youngest age, thinking that, you know, Americans are retiring younger now, that there is all this information out there that you should be able to get to, and you should be able to, with the access to this information, make some decisions that will allow you to retire at a much younger age. Boy, was I shocked when the facts came back. It goes on and says, Americans can start receiving Social Security retirement benefits as early as 62, though the result is the permanently reduced monthly payout. However, only a small percentage of Americans are able to retire that early, and some retire even earlier with enough savings. Can you believe that? The retirement age. Normally, people can't retire until they're 62, and the majority of people don't retire at 62. That just boggled my mind when I saw that. And I thought, wow. So it goes on, and everything that's in this here, this next couple paragraphs, is about the fact that the way they believe you retire, retirement definition is to save up a pile of money and then live off that pile of money and hope that you die before that pile runs out. I mean, that's basically the retirement plan for 99% of Americans out there, even ones with very sophisticated financial planners. They haven't figured it out yet. So to start with, let's look at their belief system and their results, and then we'll talk about our belief systems and our results, okay? So it goes on and says, the earliest age to retire with Social Security benefits. begins at 62. However, claiming benefits before your full retirement age, which is 67, for anyone born 1960 or later, will result in a permanent reduction of monthly amount. So what they're saying basically is people are pretty much expecting to live off Social Security. And then if you hold off until 67, you'll get a larger amount than you get if you start taking it at 62. Right? It says if you start at 62 instead of 67, it will reduce your payout by 30%. Okay. And again, that's all based on now we're going to live off this pile of money, which is Social Security. Goes on and says the rarity of early retirement. Now, this is where I thought got interesting. While some people have financial means to retire in their 40s or 50s, there it is, 40s or 50s, right? It is uncommon in 2024 analysis of data from the 2016 to 2022 found that the percentage of retired Americans in these age groups is very low. Now, let me explain to you. At 34 years of age, after 2.5 years of investing in real estate, I had built up enough passive income to replace my earned income. In my mind, that was my definition of retirement. In other words, I didn't have to get up to go to work, and I still earned the same amount of money I earned when I did get up and go to work. So I was able to retire. I was able to replace that earned income. Along with that, all the other things that I had, you know, when I had whatever retirement I have, which, you know, back then I was earning, you know, less than 60 grand a year. My take home pay was $3,000 a month after you took out all the stuff you take out. And I had to replace that $3,000 a month. But remember, that $3,000 a month paid for my housing, my car, my auto, my gas, my electric, my food, my clothes. And, you know, whatever portion I had to pay in for health insurance had to come out of that also. So this says very few people can retire. And it goes on and says from ages 40 to 44, see, they don't even start below 40 years of age. That's what's amazing. If you started investing in your 20s, and if it takes, like the article said, 5 to 10 years to invest. And by the way, we haven't got that article yet, but there's an article here we're going to read that says it takes 5 to 7 years or 5 to 10 years to retire, building up your passive streams of income in real estate. If you start at 20, by the time you're 30, you're retired, right? Now, I started in my late 20s and retired by 34. So I did it within, you know, 5 years. But really, it was 2.5 years after I started buying houses that it actually happened for me. I moved rather rapidly at that point, and the timing was perfect. The market was perfect. We were in massive foreclosures everywhere because of the 1978 era where everything was in foreclosure. Or 87, I'm sorry, not 87. Ages 40 to 44, 1% Americans are retired. 40 years of age to 44 years of age, only 1% of Americans can retire at that age. So if I retired at 34, I was below that. That put me in the less than, smaller than 1 percentage bracket, 1% of Americans. Ages 45 to 49, only 2% of Americans are retired. So that's 45 to 49. So you're almost 50 years of age. You're still working, right? Ages 50 to 54, only 6% of Americans are retired. And 55 to 59, 11% of Americans are retired, leaving people over 60 years of age or under 60 years of age, only 11% are retired. Now, actually, 11% is not bad if you think about it, when you really look at that out there as a possibility. 11% isn't that bad, but you're already 60 years of age. You're 59 years old. So the whole basis from this, guys, the whole basis of retirement, this way of thinking, is based on we're going to build up a pile of money and we're going to live off of it. Now, the problems they see with this are interesting. Number one, nobody seems to be able to figure out is how to get health care, right? Retiring young requires significant financial planning because you must support yourself for a longer period without Social Security or Medicare. Well, first of all, we're going to support ourselves not for a longer period of time. We're going to support ourselves for the rest of our lives. And if that goes all the way to 60, 70, 80, 90, you have to ask yourself a question. Just because you can do that at 60, 70, 80, or 90, why can't you do that at 20, 30, 40, or 50? The obvious answer is you can. It's just a matter of you have to figure it out. Now, what they're saying is that the government has put in place all these things to help you retire once you get past 62 and a half, like Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and so forth, that's there to help with your retirement, and that they can't figure out how to retire if you don't have all those helping things. Some people just rely on those things completely. And the smart people have used those as, you know, a safety net, you know, in addition to just to add it to whatever their other plan already was. Some of the other problems they talk about is that early withdrawal penalties, accessing funds from tax advantage retirement accounts like your 401k or IRA before age 59 incurs a 10% penalty. Well, not only does it incur a 10% penalty, it incurs taxes. You haven't paid taxes on that money. So now you're in the tax situation plus a penalty. And that's a nasty little problem to get yourself into. The next one is inflation. Your savings must last decades longer, so your investment strategy must account for the effect of inflation over a 40 or 50 year period of time. And it's interesting they're picking a 40 or, I see why they're picking 40 or 50. They're saying if you retire at 40, you're going to live to 80 or 90. You're going to need to have inflation adjusted income, right? And the last one is higher savings required. Very early retirees must have a much larger nest egg saved to fund a long retirement without relying on government benefits for many, many years. So in other words, you're going to have to survive without the government benefits. Well, I'm 69 years old. I haven't taken one single government benefit yet. In fact, I probably should get with somebody and figure out, you know, should I take it anyway, you know, and use it as like a gift to give away to my kids or grandkids or something, right? I don't know. I paid for it. I paid into it. You know, I've never really thought I need it, and I thought there's other people that do need it, so I haven't ever taken it. I have insurance because I own businesses, and a part of, you know, you're owning a small real estate business is you have a business and you have payroll. If you have an apartment complex, you have payroll, you have staff, a manager, a maintenance man, and office staff, which would be you. And those all are put on payroll and can be used for getting your insurance and so forth. Even if you don't pay yourself as labor, you can still put yourself on as an employee and get your insurance covered. But even without that, before I had even owned an apartment, I was retired and I just bought insurance. People go, you can't just buy insurance. People don't realize you can just buy insurance. Now, Obama tried to mess it up. They tried to get rid of private insurance. Back when I was young, when I first retired, they had something where you could get into a pool. You could join an insurance pool. The state of Texas had an insurance pool. If you couldn't get insurance, you didn't have a place to buy it, you could just get into the pool. And I got into the pool. Simple enough, right? So these are the things they're saying are difficult challenges for people that want to retire. But all of them are based on the fact that you don't have any income, right? And because you don't have income, you got a problem here. If you had income, then these problems won't be a problem. If you had enough income, you don't need to go to your 401k or IRA, or especially if you had the tricks of being in real estate investing, where you have, in some cases, very large real estate depreciation deductions, which are fake losses. You know, you're not really losing the money, but you got the deduction there anyway because of the law. And if you use that, then that means you're going to have, at some point, if you do it correctly, excess deductions, and those excess deductions can be used to offset some of the income from your withdrawal of your 401k and IRA. Now, I've not seen anybody really figure that one out 100%. I didn't have a large 401k or IRA problem because I didn't have a large 401k or IRA. You know, so when mine came out, I was in the zero tax bracket. I had no income. I didn't have a job. I pulled it out. Boom. It was okay. I paid, you know, what I would have paid putting it in the first place, which is, I think, an interesting concept. People want you to put money in your early years in life where you have very low tax bracket, and instead of, you know, and then take it out in your later years in life when you're in a higher tax bracket, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Neither, that's another show. What we're talking about here is, okay, most people don't do it because of these challenges. So I thought to myself, that didn't really tell me much. It didn't tell my listeners much. What could I ask that might get us some information we need to hear? And so I thought about it for a second. I said, how young can you retire using real estate income to live on instead of drawing down your savings? Very specific question. Put this in your, you know, your AI and ask, how young can you retire using real estate income to live on instead of drawing down your savings? So whether you have savings or don't have savings, we're not going to draw it down. We're going to invest it in real estate. And here's what it said. Retiring young with real estate income. Retiring young using real estate income is possible by strategically building a portfolio of properties that generate enough passive income to cover your living expenses. There's no single youngest age because it depends entirely on your financial goals, expenses, and how quickly you can acquire and optimize your properties. Some investments aim for retirement in as little as 5 to 15 years by aggressively pursuing a strategy. Well, let's think about this for a second. It says there is no age because everybody's situation is different. I would suggest to you guys, if you're out there and you're a young gentleman or young lady, and you know, you're in your 20s, you got a job and you're making money and you're living at home and you have the ability to save and invest. If you're making very, very little on your first job, it's going to take very, very little to replace that income. Hence, it's going to be easier to retire when you're in your 20s than it is when you're in your 50s. Think about that for a second. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Working full-time but still falling behind? Learn how real estate education can help you build income and get ahead. On your terms, text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we are doing an AI tour of the world. Really what I'm doing is asking you questions about retirement. And the first question was, in the first segment was, how many people actually retire young? And it was surprising. Less than 1% of Americans retire before 40 years of age. And by 59, less than, I think, 11% retired before 60 years of age. Very small percentage. And so I said, well, we're getting nowhere on this. It's not telling us how to do it or what to do. So I went and did an AI search for how young can you retire using real estate. And it came back, it said, retiring young with real estate income is possible by strategically building a portfolio of properties that generate enough passive income to cover your living expenses. There it is, boom. Right there, one sentence, sums it all up, right? Then it goes on and says, there's no single youngest age because it depends entirely on your financial goals and expenses and how quickly you can acquire and optimize your properties. So if you're a young person, you have very little overhead is what it's basically saying. Like when I was young, I was able to replace my earned income very quickly, 2.5 years after starting investing in real estate. And never went back to work at a corporate America job ever again. I've never worked for someone else since age 34. I've owned businesses. I've worked in the business here or there. I've worked on stuff, but I've never had a job. I've never had a job with somebody other than one of the businesses that I owned. And many of the businesses, like my seminar business, teaching business, I have to pay myself a salary for that because I do teach classes and I do the radio shows. So I have to be paid something for that. Otherwise, the government would say, you know, you're not paying your fair share of taxes, right? So having said that, I wanted to make the point that it was easier for me to retire when I was young. It gets harder the more overhead you pick up along the way. So now you pick up a car payment, now you pick up a house payment, a wife, a husband, kids, children, blah, 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 blah. Cost of living goes up and it gets more difficult all the time. So let's talk about the steps that AI came up with. Number one, calculate your income needs. Determine the annual income requirement to cover all of your desired living expenses in retirement. Pretty simple. We will dictate this will dictate the size and the number of properties needed. For example, if you need $60,000 per year and each property generates $5,000 annually after expenses, you would need 12 properties. Real simple math. That's really what we do here at Lifestyles, is that type of arrangement. Now, one of the things to keep in mind is you say, well, I can't live on $60,000. Go, well, if you're making $100,000 a year, you're really living on $60,000. You need to go back and look at after you pay your income taxes, your Social Security, your Medicare taxes, all that stuff. If you live in a state like California or New York, you have another state income tax of 10% or so. Then you've got, in and all that, your expenses to get into work every day. So you need automobile, gas, and travel expenses to get back and forth, clothes to go to work. When you cut out going to work every day, boy, you cut out a lot of expenses, whether you realize it or not. You don't have to eat out every day for lunch. You don't have to gas. You don't have travel time. Boom, boom, boom. Costs go way down. Okay? Says number two, focus on cash flow. Invest in properties that consistently generate positive cash flow after accounting for all expenses, including mortgage payments, taxes, insurance, maintenance, and vacancy. Rental properties are ideal for this. So there's a concept that the average person never gets. If you're listening to this radio show for the first time or for the 4,000th time, you know that all I ever talk about is cash flow. It's the cash flow, stupid. As a lady had a shirt one time that came to my seminar. After taking my seminar, she made this shirt, said, it's the cash flow, stupid. How do you retire? You retire on cash flow. If you don't have cash flow, you don't retire, period, right? So that's really what it's all about. And investing in properties, well, I'm going to buy something and flip it. It doesn't produce regular, reoccurring, consistent cash flow, which is what your job is to you, and that's what you need, is money coming in on the regular, right? So when you look at these things, a lot of people try to do stuff that just doesn't cash flow. You know, that's the problem with a 401k and an IRA and paying off your home early, as Dave Ramsey would have you do, is that those things don't cash flow. They don't add any cash to your life whatsoever. Number three, aggressive acquisition. Build your real estate portfolio as quickly as possible. This might involve saving a substantial down payment. The initial hurdle is often accumulating enough capital for a down payment, typically 15 to 20% for rental properties. And that would be typical, except we're going to show you ways to get that percentage down by using hard money lenders. And that's one of the things we teach you, because that is one of the main tricks that sets us apart from the average real estate investor. We're not putting 15 to 20% down in these deals. We're putting less than 10% in many cases in these situations. And so to be able to do that, you're going to have to be able to utilize the hard money lending systems that we put in place. The next thing, number two, is use the BRRR method. Buy, rehab, rent, refinance, and repeat. That's exactly what I've been teaching for 35 years. We buy it, we rehab it, we rent it, we refinance it, take our money out, and repeat the process. This strategy involves using the equity from one property to fund the down payment for the next and accelerated portfolio growth. So you're not just saving for the next property, you're actually building wealth and using that wealth to grow your portfolio. And I've never called it the BRRR method. That's interesting. It's just really an acronym of buy, rehab, rent, refinance, and repeat, which is pretty much what I've been teaching for 35 years. It's how I got retired. It's how I've taught other people to retire. It's pretty common. Number four, property management. Decide if you will manage properties yourself or hire a professional property management company. This impacts the passive nature of the income. There's two parts to this statement, right, that they're bringing up here. One is one they're not bringing up, which is if you don't pay for property management, if you manage your own properties, that money which you would pay to a property management company now becomes extra money for you, making it easier to retire much quicker. Remember, after I retired at 34 years of age, I had nothing to do. At 34 years of age, I had nothing to do. Managing my own properties, and they were all single-family houses, was a very simple thing to do. It doesn't take a lot of time to manage houses. And so if you learn that skill set early on in your real estate career, as you build yourself up to where you can work your way out of a job at some point, it's going to get there quicker if you don't have to pay property management. On the other hand, if you need to pay property management, you need to put that into your plan. You know, some people don't ever want to retire, actually. They just want to replace their income so they know they're secure, or they want to double their income. In that case, they're going to want to use some type of property management system, some company or some person or something to manage that properties for them. And when I was young, since I had retired at 34, a lot of people that had good jobs didn't want to quit their jobs right away. They wanted to build up their passive streams of income, so they would partner with me and put up the money, and I would do the deal and manage everything. This allowed them to keep their job, continue to save money, and to build their portfolio without needing to give up their job while they were doing that. And it worked out well for many, many people. Number five, consider tax implications. Rental income is generally taxable as ordinary income, but you can deduct many expenses, including depreciation, mortgage interest, property taxes, insurance, maintenance. You might also explore investing through tax-advantaged accounts like self-directed IRAs. Let's say no to that right off the bat. That's a much greater discussion as to why you wouldn't want to invest through those tax-advantaged accounts. Let's set that off to the side for right now. But the point here is that number four, they talked about if you manage your own properties, you are no longer in a passive situation. You're now in a situation where you're an active investor, and that allows you to be a real estate professional. If you're a real estate professional, then you can write off all your deductions against all of your income, which is a massive benefit. If you ever take my class and see this, that in itself blows most people's minds, that you can literally set yourself up to pay no income taxes if you have enough depreciation deductions out there to carry forward against all of your other earned income and so forth. It's massively important. But you don't have to do it. It's saying it's just going to impact it if you don't do it. The tax implications here, if done correctly, you buy a piece of real estate. If you buy it right, set it up right, you should be able to earn the rental income tax deferred through depreciation. Once you get that passive stream of income and you have confidence that you could live without the job, then you'll find the job can't live without you. It's an interesting concept. Everywhere out there, every business I've ever had, we would kill for someone that has full-time skill sets that are willing to work part-time and get paid part-time wages, because those people fill gaps that need to get filled. They're in demand. So if you're that kind of person, just tired of working 60, 80 hours a week, you want to drop it down to 40 or even 30, right? That can be done by creating enough passive streams of income to give you that freedom. You say, well, not on high-tech jobs. Hey, even on high-tech jobs. I had a young lady I was dating for a while, way back when, and she was a geologist. And what she did was, after we bought her a bunch of real estate, she didn't need to work anymore, but she still liked the extra money because they paid her well. She quit her job as a geologist for a big oil company and went back to work for the very same oil company, contract labor. In other words, what she would do is they'd have a project come up and she would be a project management engineer and take that project on and go make that one happen. Okay, we're going to try to drill this well over here in the Permian Basin. And she would take on that project, and it might take her a month or two or three, whatever it was, and then that her part of that project was over, and she would hand it off to somebody else, and she was done, and she could go travel the world. And she made a good chunk of money. In fact, they actually pay you more to be contract labor than they do to be an employee, because they don't have all the extra benefits they have to give to you and extra stuff they have to pay. So they'll pay you more. Of course, if you come in as contract labor, you have to pay your own Social Security and Medicare. They won't pay that for you. So, you know, there's a trade-off there, but the bottom line is it's easy to get work. It's contract labor. Once you get to the point where you don't need your job, then your job needs you more than you need it. It's an amazing change of life. It also is an amazing change of attitude. When I started working with the passive streams of income, where I told my boss I'm not going to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, I said I'll go back to 4 days a week, 12 hours a day, or 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, which would be 40 hours either way. In fact, even 4 days at 12 hours was 48 hours. I said, you know, but that's all I'm going to work. And this guy's like, well, we can't do that. Then everybody want to do it. I go, everybody want to, but not everybody's got my skill set. And so they were willing to let me do it. What I found happened, which is very interesting, is that I was better at the job. They were blown away, because when you work 5, 6 days a week, when you work 8, 10, 12 hours a day, you're tired. And they're really, you build into your day some off time, some mental off time, some physical off time. You just build it in, no matter what you think you do. And you become less productive. When I would come in and I only had to work 4 days a week, and I knew I only had to work 4 days a week, boy, I was like, okay, the main team worked Monday through Friday. I worked Wednesday through Sunday. So my 4 days, whatever that would be, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Thursday. So I worked Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I came in Thursday and Friday in uproar to take the business off the hands of the main team and get control of it and control it for 4 days. And, for 2 days there, they were finishing up the work for the week. I was taking over their work and starting a new project, starting a new set of results from Thursday through Sunday. All of a sudden, we doubled our productivity. We had two full productive teams. And what was funny was our 4-day-a-week team could beat our 5-day-a-week team. You say, well, they got 5 days on you. Go, doesn't matter. They're tired. They're burnt out. They're taking breaks mentally and physically and so forth. So I found in my whole life my productivity went up. My workouts became better. My relationships became better. Everything, because now I had a life. And that's when I came up with the concept, you know, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. It's the quality of the lifestyle that changed for me when I was able to create these passive streams of income. That, my friends, is what I think you need to look into. Now, to end this up today, I want to tell you that this is the 35th anniversary of Lifestyles Unlimited. Been doing it since September of 1990. And I've got a special for you. You can get signed up with us for a year's worth of membership for only $197. That is a family membership, husband, wife, and children 18 years of age and younger for only $197. And if you want to buy one more membership for another person, and it's another family membership for $1 more, for $198, you can buy two memberships. To get this discount, you're going to have to text the word radio to 88007. Text the word radio to 88007. Do it right now before you forget. Just text radio to 88007. It's going to take you to a website where you can watch the free workshop, see if you're interested in what we do, explain what we do, and if you want, get in for a very, very inexpensive special price for our anniversary. And remember, as you do it, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.